as friends. But I can't show them until they come after their podcast. Turn the speakers up. Sit back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to podcast episode 12 with Vince Cadlebeck from Meow Wolf, CEO and co-founder.
Yeah,
is your official title. So that's a little bit from our perspective, but tell us a little bit more about yourself, man. What do you do?
What's your goodness. What do I do? I'm trying to run a company. I'm trying to like bring really cool stuff into the world. You know, I want the whole thing, my whole mission is to provide space for imagination to be experienced and expressed, and that's what I'm driven by. And then like in that process it turned into a business, and it started to become like, you know, a key component of that whole equation became money.
Yeah.
Like raising money, making money, putting that money back into the expression of imagination. And, you know, now it's like, okay, let's, you know, how do I sustain, you know, we got 500 people working for us. We have artists making all sorts of crazy shit over at the facility, expressing imagination at like crazy levels. And in order to keep that momentum going, it's like, you know, we're running a business, you know. Yeah. It's got to be sustainable.
Yeah.
So like that's my job, man. My job is, you know, paint the vision, then go out there, raise the money so that the vision can be created.
Are you an artist yourself?
I like to write.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's like my main thing. I like to write. I used to like to perform my writing, spoken word stuff.
Cool.
And then it kind of became like, then it kind of turned into theater, where I like to write plays and have other people perform the words that I wrote, you know. And so it was still kind of like spoken word, except I wasn't necessarily writing for myself. I was writing for other people to speak the stuff. So I started doing sort of like experimental theater, and that's probably where my heart is the most. Is like,
really?
Yeah, if I quit my job tomorrow, I'd start writing a play. Like that's what I would do.
Are there any days that you feel like your theater writing experience kind of ties into what you do with Meow Wolf? Or
man, totally, because it's really? Like, yeah, that's cool. For sure. I mean, because I'm like, you know, I'm scripting and and there's a directing going on. Like I'm trying to get timing right. I'm trying to get like the performance right. You know, I'm definitely, and then me myself, I'm a performer on stage these days. You know, I know that people are, you know, looking towards me to represent well.
Yeah.
You know, people are also looking towards, you know, looking for me to fuck up. They're looking for me to like screw up. And so I feel like I'm sort of on stage or on the court, you know, like, you know, out in front of an audience.
Sure. I think you do. I mean, we're Facebook friends, and I think you do a really good job about kind of talking about openly your experience as a CEO, which I think as a leader of a company and, you know, just someone trying something new, because Meow Wolf is a completely unique experience.
Yeah.
So what, I mean, obviously you just talked about it a little bit, but what would you say is like, what would you say are some of the early challenges that you overcame?
Yeah.
And now where do you feel like you you're headed, because it's expanding now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when we started this whole thing, so, you know, we had worked through a lot of problems and a lot of difficulties in the early years of Meow Wolf, like when we were a collective and not a business. And we didn't even realize we were working through problems for a larger goal necessarily. Sure. It was just like social. It was like, you're, you know, people wanted to be part of Meow Wolf that were disruptive, or people were like, you know, not being respectful to other people's tools, or leaving the place all like, you know, all messy or whatever. There was people wanting to take the collective in a bunch of different directions, and, you know, so there was a lot of like internal sort of disputes that would happen. And I learned then, like, about myself, sort of early challenges being that like my vision is only as good as as other people's willingness to support it is, if that makes sense.
It's the team, yeah.
It's a team, yeah. And like,
everyone has to be on the same page.
Yeah, and you got to listen to that. Like, I would want to do a certain thing the way that I want to do it, but if it's not resonating, then like, I have to check myself and I have to check my vision and be like, why is this not resonating? And not blame it on them.
Sure.
For it not resonating, like take ownership of that fact, and then work on listening and developing something that resonates.
So you have like, when you walk into the Meow Wolf experience, it's very immersive. How does the team? Because I was like, does a person pick a room and cultivate it, or is it like 12 of us doing it all together? Like,
yeah. So the way that I kind of explain that is like, the larger context is done by a fewer amount of people.
Okay.
And then as you get more detailed, the amount of people contributing becomes larger.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, we came up with the House of Eternal Return like in a car driving down to New Orleans in 2014, like with three people in the car.
Yeah.
And then that turned into a group of seven talking about like the layout and the forest and the caves. And then we brought that to an even larger group and said, okay, so we have a house, we have forests, we have caves. Like, what else would we do? And then got people's ideas, and then kept on doing that. Where like the deeper we went in detail, the more people were involved at large. Sure. And then the hope is that you can carve out things, because collaboration's hard, but working autonomously with other people is easy. But like you and I trying to like come up with an idea that we both totally like resonate with and then building it together, that's hard. But if you have like your piece and I have my piece and our pieces are autonomous but they're responding to each other, then you get to collaboration. So we try to
find, that's how Meow Wolf works.
Yeah, like little boxes, little things that people can work on kind of on their own, but then they listen to each other
for the larger
in that process.
Person.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what was the first, because I mean, this is how long have you all been here?
Yeah, in this building.
Yeah,
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was like the first day? Like, what do you, when you open your doors here and you're introducing people to this idea, like a Meow Wolf?
Yeah.
Like, people don't even know what that is, you know. How do you describe it to people, and then how do you, you know, gauge the reception as people are walking out?
Like, Yeah, that first day was crazy. You know, we had just worked our asses off for a year and a half, and we were just so tired, and we had like 1,000 people in this building, kind of like psyched because people had heard about it, and they're just like, nobody knew what to expect.
Sure.
And we didn't know how people would take it either. So, you know, I remember just kind of thinking like, you know, it's an indoor playground. That was like my easiest way to say it. It's like it's an indoor artistic playground. Just like explore and have fun.
What I love is seeing older people. Like I saw this old guy climbing through a hole, just like looking so happy. And I was like, wow, you would not see that anywhere else. Even a play place, you know?
Right.
So you guys really have something really cool here that almost takes like the theme of the multiverses and almost taking people outside of just their normal life. Like,
yeah,
an older guy would not be climbing through a hole.
Totally, man. That's what's exciting about the work for us, is that like people, because it's art, because it's like a museum setting. So like, because it's art, it speaks to maybe an older crowd or a crowd that feels more like, you know, welcomed into an art space or a museum space. But because it's entertainment, it welcomes everybody else.
Sure.
You know, and so you have people showing up for entertainment who then are having an artistic experience, and then people who are showing up for art then having an entertainment experience, and there's like this you know, collision of worlds that actually becomes really beautiful in there. It's kind of like a park, you know. It's like an indoor park.
It is.
Where people can kind of do whatever, hang out however, you know. It's like,
yeah. Let's see what people are saying on Facebook. We got some flames here. Hey, Linda.
Nice.
Kirby. So one of the questions I had, you know, Santa Fe, Taos, New Mexico, this area seems very like mystical and magical.
Yeah.
And do you think that inspired the Meow Wolf vision?
Sure.
Cool.
Oh, big time. Yeah. I mean, I grew up here in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
And so that's like a big part of this whole thing for me. I have aunts, uncles, cousins who are like multi-generational, like been here for 300 years, you know, type of thing.
What's their reaction? Like, you know, because I know you all started Meow Wolf here as a collective.
Yeah.
But as it grows, have you seen Santa Fe kind of grow, you know, alongside what you all are
doing? I think there's a couple things going on. I think in one respect, you know, we brought jobs, we brought an economy, there's an excitement, and the music shows that happen all the time, like those are really good for the community. Cool. It's younger feeling. Santa Fe is younger feeling now than it ever really has ever been, at least in my lifetime. It's also brought some negativity though. I mean, like we kind of take the air out of the room. Like, it's such a big deal, and it's like I'm like tired of Meow Wolf kind of being taking up such a big place. Like, it's such a big amount of space in our city. And I kind of think that, I don't know, I would love to see the city grow around it and other things pop up and other people express the stuff that they're doing, not the same level, but just start to like have more expression out there, because, you know, it was an unintended consequence of it all, but we ended up having a really big impact, you know, and that gets to me, you know, just because the Santa Fe I know is a lot of things, and to a lot of people now, when they think Santa Fe, they think Meow Wolf, right. And that's unfortunate, because it's like, no, it's beautiful nature, it's Spanish Market, it's Indian Market, it's, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of history, it's, you know, beautiful, you know, pottery and artifacts, and, you know, sunsets. It's like, there's so much, and amazing food. It's like, there's so much about it. And that's the kind of one of the downsides, I guess.
I mean, well, just as this is my first time here, and I feel the opposite, actually. Oh, nice. Like, I really captured the Santa Fe vibe, and I felt like you all kind of are a standout piece, of course, but I still feel like it's really nice that you're here, but also the culture of Santa Fe still feels very intact.
That's awesome, man. That's
like the houses, the architecture.
Yeah.
So I'm from Denver, and that is one of your two of three locations, because you're also going to Vegas.
Vegas and DC.
DC as well.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Are those projects completely different from the Santa Fe one?
Yeah, all three of those projects are different. So, or I'd say all four of those projects. So Santa Fe, Vegas, Denver, and DC are all different concepts altogether.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So this House of the Eternal Return, was it originally something before you all moved here?
This building was a bowling alley.
Okay.
And then it had been empty.
I would have never, like, you don't even see that.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And then it was empty for 7 years. It was just like an empty building for 7 years. And then George bought it and we took it over. And then everything that you see in there now is our, you know, what we put in there.
What was your connection to George R. R. Martin? Because, I mean, you came to him, you said, we want to create this interactive art experience.
Yeah.
Was he immediately on board? Like, is he from Santa Fe? Does he know much about it?
He lived here. Yeah, he lives here. And he's lived here for about the last 25 years or so. So he's been here for like a large part of his
life. Game of Thrones and Santa Fe look nothing alike. So that's crazy. Has he been here? Have you heard feedback from him?
Oh, yeah. He loves it, man.
Really?
He brings all his friends. He has all these writer friends, sci-fi novelists and stuff. And he brings them. And he loves it. Yeah.
Do you think that's like the future of, you know, obviously George R. R. Martin is an artist, but when we're thinking about large entrepreneurial projects, do you want more people to invest in, you know, art collectives like this? Do you think that's a good idea?
Totally. I mean, so the way that it is for me is like, you have a set way of kind of participating in a lot of things, in capitalism. There's a set way to kind of participate in the art world,
culture
in general,
politics anyway,
and politics. And it's pretty set. And what collectives do, what like warehouse underground collectives are doing underneath the surface and kind of to the side, is like, it's alternative space to be able to have alternative thoughts and alternative ways of going about any one of those problems. So like, you can have different types of political conversations as a collective, because you're sort of outside of the, you know, you're creating your own sort of subculture that can
influence the larger culture
in its own way.
It wants. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, like, you know, for the, and the way for those collectives to be able to get traction and to keep moving and to, like, be able to keep evolving together, there has to be some amount of sustainability involved. Mm-hmm. Now, like, for us, it got too big too fast. You know, like, we're, you know, I'm grateful and it's awesome. And, but I wouldn't say that we're a collective anymore. I would say that we're a business, you know? Yeah. And that's like that. Company. Yeah. Like, yeah. We're a company. And that kind of, you know, that pains me, but I also know that there's a lot of,
still got the artist heart. Like,
totally. I know that we're also
trying to keep it real.
We're impacting culture even as a company, but
yeah,
there's something really special about having that collective mentality and, you know, taking sustainability is a funny word because it's like not having enough is unsustainable. Having too much is unsustainable.
Sure.
And so you got to keep that balance. And I think it's absolutely critical that every city in the country, like, considers the collectives that are in their cities as valuable resources to their culture and as valuable resources to the future of their city, because these are the people who are going to be positively impacting and changing the way that people do things. It's like, you know, and you see it, you see like Austin go from, or, you know, Denver, shit, you go from like a city that's, cities that are filled with creatives, cities that are filled with, you know, collectives and this sort of underground culture, then they become really cool because of that. And this like cool factor kind of comes in, and then the people start moving there, business start moving there. And then before you know it, the same thing that made the city cool to begin with is getting priced out and is getting squashed by all that. And that cycle can be stopped by business owners and can be stopped by city governments by when they recognize that in order to keep your city cool, you have to support the legit cool people who are there, make it work your ass off to make that place affordable to live, and honestly work with creatives directly, you know, whether you're a business owner or you're a municipality or a state government. Value creatives, value artists, because they are the lifeblood of culture.
Yeah,
you know, and it just doesn't seem like there's enough of that going on, you know.
I love that, by the way. That was really great. I think that was like the statement of the podcast. Behind the scenes back here, you have office space. It's a very different world than, you know, the meow wolf that people get to see. So what is the rate, like, what's the percentages for you as a CEO? Like, is it still artistic and is it still fun?
Yeah, it is.
It's cool.
It is. It's artistic in the sense that, like, I continue to make stuff happen, you know, and the vision... To me, art is, or the artistic practice is, envision something, and especially envision something that's never been done, and then take actions to make that vision come into fruition. And that's artistry, and that's what I still feel like I'm doing. The fun part is tough because, you know, yes, I have fun, but as all artists know, I'm sure as you know, John, like, in the difficult moments of artistry and the difficult moments of being creative, it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's like, this shit sucks and I can't express myself the way I want to, or I'm tired of this thing I'm working on. It sucks. I want to be done with it. You get these thoughts in your head that, you know, and that's it's difficult as a creative because you really want to bring stuff into the world, but sometimes it's too difficult, you know, to really, and you kind of lose the joy of it. And I go in and out of that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Man, I think that's fair. It's like, I think, you know, as a CEO, from what I've seen, I don't know very many CEOs, or maybe I do, but I think you keep a very like ground level perspective on creating something that is bigger than just you.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions about Denver? Like,
oh my gosh.
From somebody that lives there.
How long you been there?
29, I've lived there my whole life.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right. Other than touring and traveling.
What's your perception? I mean, how's it been for you, like, the last decade? Like, it's like your adult life, basically. How's it all changed?
I personally love the change. I think there's like a lot of cool new opportunities that are popping up, a lot of great new venues that myself and other artists have been able to play. And we, you know, I'm with a group of friends that really take the initiative to continue growing. It's like, yeah, change is going to happen, and you could either complain and get rolled over by it, or you can say, okay, let's adapt and figure out how we, because we're here, obviously we're supposed to be fitting into this.
Yeah.
So that's something that we're really doing well, I think. And then as things like, you know, Meowwolf come in and add to our culture of Denver, a city, that honestly I'm not, you know, I'm not as attached to like the location as maybe other people are.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like these things are only going to improve the culture and I love growth.
Yeah. So. What are some of the things in Denver? Like, what are some of the highlights for you when you think about your home city? And what are the things that sort of come to mind immediately that you're like,
yeah, I think we have like great city architecture. I love the, like, when you're driving downtown, our buildings are cut really cool. Like that Denver Art Museum area is just really unique and special, and I love our Colorado sunsets. Love the Denver art community. I think one of the things that we are really maybe like struggling with as a city is there's like a bubble over us for some reason that we can't seem to like break out of. So I think a lot of artists this year are focusing on how can we expand our reach outside of Denver.
That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
And creating more links to other places, and, you know, doing things like this for me is like a perfect example of that.
Just that's
like,
great.
How man. Can I expand my community?
Yeah. That's great, man. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, us Rocky Mountain cities, man, we're in the mountains, you know, and it's like, it's like the coasts are, they feel far away, LA, New York, they feel far away, but the amount of talent, the creativity and talent in Denver is just like amazing to me. And I travel around all over the country, and just nothing matches Denver when it comes to the level of happening, like the, you know, just how many people are doing shit, making shit, are fighting for shit, are voicing their voice. Like it's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
It's I'm sure I wasn't around Austin, you know, in the 90s, and I wasn't around San Francisco in the 80s or 90s, you know, or 70s or 60s. San Francisco's a special place, but I'm sure that it's probably similar in that way, where the amount of creativity is just kind of bustling. And you know, I hope that creatives in Denver can stay there, can stick with it, can remain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's all a work in progress. Do you feel like the theme of the House of the Eternal Return, like the portals and the multiverse and things like that, those are things that have been really you know, popping up more just in my own consciousness. Do you think that's something that like our generation is like thinking about?
Yeah.
Like, how can we expand, you know, into quantum physics and stuff like that? Like the fact that you guys did it though, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. I think that like, you know, to me, you know, imagination is the key, and like time and space. When you have a vision for something and then you try to make it happen, your biggest barriers to making it happen are time and space. Those things are like, that's what you have to fight through in order to get your what's in your mind out in the world. And so I think that like we all sort of have this, since we know what our imagination is capable of, and we know that like we can essentially create anything that we can think of, like we want to bypass time and space, and we want to just enter into the world of imagination, you know, and like, yeah, exactly. Now, like we're here now, we're all one in that moment. Like time and space is also the two things that keep us separate. Those are the two factors that keep distance from us. Or, you know, I don't know my grandmother anymore because she's passed away and time has taken her away. And it's like, so with those two things, with time and space removed, it's like we're all one, and we're all one in the global consciousness of imagination in this way. And that's where it's coming from for me, is like, you know, wanting to be reunited into the what's it called, the singularity, you know, back into the singularity, like what happens at the center of a black hole, you know, like wanting the universe to be back to one again, or yeah. something. Yeah.
Do you guys like talk about that when you're creating the projects? Is yeah. that kind of like the central focus?
Yeah, that's like the story focus for sure.
Cool.
And then we're kind of thinking about all the people who are struggling, or not, you know, not struggling, but who are fighting to bring forth the imagination, you know, and the creatives in the world, the people who like literally can't even keep a job because they so badly want to make the thing that they want to make, you know, like that drive is, it's valuable, you know. And so we're trying to wrap those characters, you know, artists, creatives, into our story, and all that. So we're trying to kind of have like a meta level fictional thing going on for us. Careful, you're low battery, by the way.
Yeah, we're almost done out here.
All right. Oh, that's cool, man.
Got some people watching.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, yeah, man. I just, you know, I wanted to come down and see Miawa for the first time. It's definitely amazing, and I recommend to everyone to make the trip, or, you know, if you're close to Santa Fe, or if you live here and you haven't come, I think you should.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and I just, you know, wanted to thank you for your time too. I know running a company like this must be unimaginable, but I'm sure you have your way to file things in your brain, like, all right, this will get done first. But, you know, thank you for being here, and thank you, Miawa, for being here too, and inspiring what I'm sure is going to be the next wave of future art and creativity.
Thanks, man. So. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
All right. Thank y'all for watching. Peace.
Thanks for your work too, man. Everything that you do.
Oh, I'm out here.
Music's-